Farnsworth, Brother and Sister, E.W. St. Helena, California, February 19, 1906. Dear Brother and Sister Farnsworth, I had some pages written to you, but have not felt clear to send them. There will be need of the most careful consideration, that no words or actions on our part shall confirm in a wrong course those whose eyes are blinded, that they cannot see those who think that they are justified in following the course they have pursued. Present the truth positively, with earnestness and love, and let the light shine forth in clear, distinct rays. Let all possible be done to save those who apparently have decided to link up together in opposition to God's warnings. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3, verse 16, 17. I fear that if we are not prudent, we may make a bad matter worse. Let us do all in our power to beat back the powers of darkness. I have sent special directions that our people are not to allow the name of Dr. Kellogg to appear in print before the world. The Lord would have every word guarded. There are those, Dr. Paulson, Dr. Reed, and many other physicians, who are sustaining Dr. Kellogg, and for the sake of souls, we must pursue a course that will be no cause of stumbling to the ones who are seeking to justify themselves in a wrong course of action. Christ died for a sinful world, and for Christ's sake, we must not give these souls a chance to justify themselves in their course of action. We must not, by word or act, give those who are now in darkness an opportunity to feel justified in vindicating their course. But it has been a most trying thing to see made of no effect the word of the Lord in cautions and warnings regarding students not going to Battle Creek to obtain their education. The college was taken out of Battle Creek, yet students are still called there, and there they become indoctrinated with the very sentiments regarding the personality of God and Christ that would undermine the foundation of our faith. The sanctuary question, which means so much to the heavenly family and to the believers on earth, has been made as nothingness. This has been presented to me as that which would be done. We must vindicate the truth. The effort that is being made to press through the Sunday law should be vigorously met, for we are not ready for that issue. The crisis is right upon us, and soon the last issue will have to be met. Every talent held in trust by God's people should now be employed to advocate the truth as it is in Jesus, to cause it to stand before the world in clear lines. The work that is being done by some to counterwork the Lord's warnings is the consequence of the devising of satanic agencies. We now present our case to heaven, asking God to work in our behalf. It would be a great relief to me if I could go to some retired place and write and work for sinners who have never heard the last message of mercy that is to be given to our world. But I am charged to stand at my post of duty till the Lord gives me my discharge, and this I will do with the help of God. I am instructed to say to our people, present the truth for this time. Press it home upon minds. When the human family received the deadly wound caused by Adam's transgression, it became needful for the sinless Son of God, one equal with the Father, to take our nature upon him and come to the world to live in our behalf a perfect life, making it possible for man, through his ministration, to become a partaker of the divine nature and thus escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. It was as our Redeemer that he came, that those who believe in him may receive from him the strength and the virtue that will enable them to overcome in the struggle with evil. For this reason, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. As in Adam all die, even so, through accepting Christ as a personal Savior, all may be made alive. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Verse 36. To the astonishment of all heaven, the proclamation was made that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to a life of humiliation and suffering. By an amazing sacrifice, the Son of the infinite God displayed his love for the fallen race. He did this as the only means of manifesting the love of God for disobedient human beings. He made an offering that could not possibly be exceeded in value. The love of God was manifested in and through Christ. The Son of God suffered the penalty of sin, reconciling the world unto Himself. He who knew no sin became a sin offering, that fallen, sinful human beings, through repentance and confession, might receive pardon. He became our propitiation, that man, repentant, humbled, receiving the merits of Christ, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We who have fallen through the transgression of the law of God have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The way is open for everyone to prepare himself for the second appearing of Jesus Christ, that at His appearing we may be vindicated, having put away all evil, and having overcome through the cleansing blood of Christ. Through the intercession of Christ, the image of God is renewed in mind and heart and character. Through the blood of the only begotten Son of God, we obtain redemption. We are accepted in the Beloved, made like unto Christ in character, receiving His wisdom, His righteousness, His sanctification, His redemption, if we hold the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. We are in this world to honor God, and from all devising that would in any way tempt us to dishonor our Redeemer, we must turn away. In Christ, we have before us the pattern of all righteousness. He has pledged Himself to be our guide, our preserver, our governor. O Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Psalm 8, verse 1. He is the brightness of the Father's glory, the express image of His person. Hebrews 1, verse 3. We are transgressors of God's law. Our only hope for salvation was in Christ, taking upon Himself the guilt of our sins, bearing the penalty of transgression in His own body on the tree. He made a full oblation of sacrifice, and, by that one oblation of Himself, made it possible for us to live in obedience to God's commands, and thus fulfill the condition of entering into eternal life. Our characters are to be conformed to His perfect character. By Him, we are to be brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. By Him, the image of God is to be renewed in the soul, sealing us in obedience to His law. We are to become His loyal subjects, having pure and undefiled religion, and depending upon the one grand principle, by grace ye are saved, through faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 4, verse 11. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 John 3, verse 1 to 14. I beseech every one to walk and work in the fear of God. Satan is always seeking to bring poor souls who have lost their bearings to the settled determination that they will act as they please. We must stand where we reflect light. Let our ministers do their very best to work on the affirmative and make no thrusts upon anyone. This is the right course to pursue.
I do not see how men can resist the evidence they have had. God's grace is great, and those who will press closer and closer to the side of Christ will not be overcome. We shall gain everything by drawing near to God and humbling ourselves before Him. As we do this, let us remember that we are heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, that we are to be partakers of the divine nature. I say to all, let not one unholy thought or feeling be cherished. The power of the grace of Christ is wonderful. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up for the trusting believer a standard against the enemy. Pray, brethren and sisters, pray for your individual selves. The love and grace of Christ far surpass our finite conceptions. Plead as for your lives to be cleansed from everything that defileth. Put on Christ in deportment, and show an unselfish interest and kindness for the souls of all. We must catch the theme of redeeming love and press on to know the Lord, that in simplicity we may reveal His character. All around us, souls are perishing. We must have a burden to save sinners. There are those in Battle Creek who can and must be helped to understand things correctly. Oh, talk it, pray it. We must have special help from the One who has light and help for us. God will help us to contemplate Christ in His divine fullness. Read the prayer of Christ recorded in the 17th chapter of John and practice its teachings. Christ says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Verses 20 to 26. We need simple faith and confidence in the promises of God. We need the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Brother Farnsworth, have frequent gatherings for prayer. Then your efforts to present the solid principles of faith and the need of building for time and eternity on a sure foundation will not be in vain. Night after night, I am pleading with the believers in Battle Creek, reminding them of the words of the One who gave His life for them. In the visions of the night, I am saying, those who think they have nothing to confess will seek to mislead you. But I beg of you to confess your sins. Individually seek the Lord, for fear that you will lose your souls. Cast your helpless souls upon Him, and He will receive you. I am weighed down with the thought of the great lack that there is of a clear conception of truth, the truth that will hold us firm as a rock when the testing time shall come. To be obedient to all the commandments of God is the settled purpose of a sanctified mind, a mind that is intelligent regarding what saith the Scriptures. If we will individually plead with God and not blind our eyes to our own defects of character, but humble our own hearts, seeking the Lord, and refusing to let go till He reveals Himself as a sin-pardoning Savior, we shall receive the blessing for which we plead. Brethren and sisters, grasp the promise. Believe. Believe. Confess your own sins, and no longer walk in darkness and doubt, but walk in the light. Christ is light, not darkness. Obey the truth. Humble the proud heart. You must know for yourselves that Christ is formed within, the hope of glory. Feed on the words of Bible truth. Touch not any foolish reading. We must know and understand the truth for this time. We must know that our feet are firmly planted on the platform of truth. Separate from every evil work. Know for yourselves where you stand. You may never have a better opportunity to become rooted and grounded and established in the faith. May the Lord help you to understand the science of truth. God has told us in His Word that perilous times are before us, and we must not allow ourselves to be led into any uncertain paths. Open the heart to the knock of Christ. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me." Revelation 3, verse 20. I know that perilous times are before us, and no peace and safety doctrines are to be presented by our ministers. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. We need now to understand what the covenant of the Lord is. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. 1 John 2, verse 1-11. My brethren and sisters, I am talking with you, praying with you, and weeping as if my heart would break, for I know that many souls will be lost unless they make diligent work for repentance. I am pleading with you to look diligently into your own cases and put every wrong from you. I am telling you that it is a matter of life and death. It is represented to me that when humble confessions are made, the light that shines from the face of Jesus will be reflected upon the faces of those who are aroused and who with broken hearts confess their sins. The Lord calls upon you never, never to rest until you have cleared your souls from the defilement that has accumulated. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning.
If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall abide in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that, when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Verses 18 to 29.